Good morning. It is 7:43 here on the Mighty 690, and it is time for our monthly conversation here with Doug Blacks, Kansas representative here, who joins us on the line. Good morning, sir. How's it going?
I guess it is July.
That's right. You know what? We're supposed to be having some of this warmer weather here. So very good timing here as, you know, we are heading into the 4th of July weekend. Not just any 4th of July weekend, though. Something that we're only going to get once ever as a nation, our 250th anniversary. So it's a pretty special time.
I agree, and I really want to encourage people to get out and celebrate, do something that will make a memory. And this is certainly a special 4th for all of us, and everyone really needs to realize that very few nations survive for 250 years, and I believe that's important for parents and grandparents to do something meaningful and certainly honor America. I just last week I took the opportunity to go to my rural road corner and mow out a patch of grass pretty short, and took a couple of great grandsons, 11 and 9, and we went out and, you know, tape measure, and I had them lay out five rows of 50 small flags, and we set them up in line, and then after we got that done, you know, I give them a little lesson on how important it is, Declaration of Independence, and even you know, told them a few things about our Kansas Constitution and our national Constitution, and I know that was probably boring. It got boring for them, but they had a lot of fun, and I just think it's so important that we instill some memories of patriotism and you know, how our country was founded, because we think we changed a lot since the founders, and we have, you know, technology, and we think they were kind of old fuddy-duddies, and maybe not, we don't really need to abide by that. But, you know, a few things are final and shouldn't be debated. The fact that all men are free and equal, and that power comes from the people. So I think it's important just to remember some of those things, and this is certainly a great opportunity to have a good civics lesson for our kids and grandkids and show our neighbors. So it was a hot day, but they had fun and I had fun.
Well, that's very good, and a great way to pass that along here, of course. Now, I know that we usually always like to get in some revenue information here. I know we haven't had a lot of days of July, but do you have any sort of revenue update here for us today?
Yes, our total revenue collections exceeded the estimate by 3.2%. That's up about 1% from a year ago in June of 2025. Individual income taxes were up slightly, and well, they were up 5.4% and 4% for June of 25. However, combined retail sales and compensating use taxes was only up 0.4% above the estimate, and slightly up about 2% from a year ago. So revenue still holding good. Some of the, you know, laws that have been passing and working on, I think, are showing there, and our economy is. I know inflation's getting up there, and the cost of having a 4th of July picnic is going to be a little more than last year, but revenue is still holding very well.
Well, very good. Do appreciate that report there. And, of course, just getting into July here, I know there's been a lot of new bills that have taken effect now. Any that you'd like to highlight this morning?
Well, yeah, I will. Every year, we're on a biennial session, which is every 2 years. And in 2025, we had almost 700 bills. Well, slightly over 700, I think 708 or something, seven like that, introduced. And, of course, obviously, they don't all get to be passed. And as effective July 1, yesterday, 124 new laws will take effect. And that's in the state of Kansas. And the Kansas legislature actually approved 157 new laws, but Some of them will take effect after publication in the Kansas Register. Others, the bulk of them usually, some may be delayed for, say, January 1 of the next year for various reasons. But for, as a general rule, about 90% of the bills will always take effect on July 1. That's the new fiscal year. And so 18 of them, we had a veto override that were passed from the governor's veto. But kind of highlight a few of them that really got a lot of attention. House substitute for Senate Bill 244, which was the bathroom bill called, and which designates you must designate sex on a public in a private space, a bathroom in a public building, and that's for use for only one sex. And we've done a lot with health care this year of modifying the scope of practice. By a good example would be optometrists. They can now do some of the things that they were actually trained to do in other states. Kansas doesn't have school. And simple procedures that you could go across the line in Oklahoma and get. So that will take effect July 1. Of course, sometimes it takes a while for the agencies and the boards to work out rules and regulations to actually get all that in line. So sometimes things are delayed a little bit. And another was important to me, clarified county authority over the transfer of water appropriation. And that authority now lies with the chief engineer of the Division of Water Resources, not county commissioners. And that was called, you know, the Hayes Water Bill. I had the privilege of carrying that on the floor, a pretty important bill that had gotten a lot of attention. And another bill that would require APRNs and registered nurse anesthetists to, they must submit to a criminal background check before they can actually get their license. And that's pretty, that'll take effect July 1. Kansas beekeepers, kind of nobody really thinks about that. They can now sell unaltered on-site packaged honey, like at farmers markets or out of their little businesses, without needing a commercial kitchen license to do that if their sales, gross sales are under $35,000. So, you can now sell raw honey and without any problems of having that. Another one that's going to be really important for a lot of people is real-time insurance verification. And that takes effect this yesterday. When a law enforcement officer runs a VIN, vehicle identification number, or registration plate, the return comments should show a verified that individual has insurance. And of course, the reason for that bill is a lot of people will just go out and buy a month or two of insurance, get their tags, and then let that expire. And of course, if you have an accident with that individual that doesn't have insurance, it creates a lot of problems. So Kansas Highway Patrol and KBI is still working out a lot of bugs there to make sure that that system is working. So I'm sure we'll have a little bit of delay on that, but kind of expect that. Hopefully it won't be any problems. I'm not sure how they're going to react if they come back and it doesn't say you have insurance. And, you know, I'm sure they're going to have a lot of grace, and you're probably going to have to answer a few more questions. But it is a good law. Excuse me. They've shown in states that have that law, there's about a 50% reduction in insurance, you know, issues of people dropping in. And so it took effect yesterday. So we'll just see how that works out.
Very good. We're speaking here with Representative Doug Blex. And, sir, obviously, you know, people still need to carry their insurance card with them. But, I mean, say that someone forgets to put their updated insurance card in their glove box. I mean, if the officer can look it up right there on the spot, is that going to, you know, maybe help out those people if, you know, they forget to put that, you know, in their vehicle?
Yes, it will, because it'll come back. The system, it's a real-time system. And basically, it shows immediately. So yeah, that will still probably should carry that, but yeah, that'll give the officer a checkbox that says verified, and so that is really a good process, and hopefully, I'd continue to carry those engineer's cards for a while just to make sure. I'm hearing some talk about, they're trying to work out a few things and make sure everything's still working. As like any new system, it takes a while sometimes to get everything just exactly right.
Sure, that makes sense. Well, sir, as we have just a couple minutes left here, would you like to talk a little bit about the water task force here?
Yeah, we have, they had a water task force meeting, the group that basically was formed, and that seems to be the kind of the way they're doing business up there. They'll form a task force and meet over the summer and multiple meetings and bring a recommendation back to the legislature, or multiple recommendations, and that met on June the 23rd. And, of course, there's a lot of controversial issues coming up. Right now we have multiple state agencies that have their finger in water and control, and one agency like Kansas Department of Ag, Kansas Division of Water Resources, which is in the Kansas Department of Ag, actually controls the appropriation on and well allocations, particularly irrigation wells out west. And then like KDHE, Kansas Department of Health and Environment, they control water quality, and they make sure that the water that we drink is safe and do all the testing. And then, of course, the Kansas Water Office, they're more or less a planning agency. And so the proposal is, several proposals out there, is one to combine all those agencies that are involved in water and that division or section and put them under a division of somewhat like called a division of water, and have that as a cabinet secretary directly under the governor, because long-term water funding is critical. I just attended a Verdigris Regional Advisory Committee last week, and we discussed those things on budgets and where we want to go. It's a grassroots group. I've been on that committee for 20 years plus, and it's important to get grassroots input, but I think kind of the water task force is kind of wanting to do maybe a regional advisory group that would be combined three or four of those into one and give grassroots input. Another proposal is to have the professionals, the people that's in the KDHE and the water office that have a lot of experience in water, put together a plan and then submit that plan back to the public and get public grassroots input, much like what KDOT, Kansas Department of Transportation, is doing with their consult meetings with the public. They'll design and plan and make recommendations of, do we want to put a four lane here, whatever we want to do, extra shoulders. And then they come to the public, allows the city and the county commissioners and the general public and business owners to come to those public meetings and provides input that is secondary to make sure that the public is involved. And so while I really support the grassroots concept, and I think that's a good deal to have certainly local input, the local people generally know what's best for their individual areas and communities. So the Water Task Force is kind of going to do a situation like that. They also talked about having in the Regional Advisory Committee to have a regional concept of where rural water districts, the various cities, may be able to have a interconnection pipelines to actually, like, for example, when Caney got low on water, another city or another basin could actually supply that, and where they all kind of collaborate together to make sure that, we have adequate water. They've been doing a lot of modeling, some of the professional staff in the Kansas Water Office, on what would happen if we had a 1950s drought and where would we be and how much water. And of course, you add in all the aging reservoirs and the sedimentation, it all gets pretty complicated. Certainly, a lot of areas in Kansas still, you know, are short of water. So trying to work through that. And then the good thing of it is all that information, they'll come up with several recommendations, and then that will be presented to the legislators, because regardless, the legislators may not know a lot about who's in charge. They're going to be the ones that's going to be providing the funding. So it's very important to have a various numbers of options to be able to present to the legislators so that we can get some adequate, efficient, dedicated water funding for our state. So
very
that's kind of the goal I've been meeting.
All right. Well, sir, we're just about out of time. But again, we really appreciate you joining us here today and hope you have a very safe and happy 4th of July as we hit 250.
Hey, yeah. Happy 4th of July. And everybody get out there and celebrate and make a memory. May God bless us all.
All right. Thank you so much, State Representative Doug Blux, joining us here. And we'll look forward to talking with him again next month.